Newsday presents the High School Sports Podcast with Greg Sara.
Hello, everyone. It's Greg Sara in the Newsday High School Sports Podcast, joined by Andy Slosson. We're back from the Times Union Center in Albany from the State Wrestling Championships, Division 1 and 2. And, Andy, we had 8 state champs this year, 4 in Division 1, 4 in Division 2. Pretty equal in Nassau and Suffolk for state champions, but the tournament, for the first time in 30-some-odd years, was all about Nassau County.
Hey, Greg, great to be here. We had a great weekend together. And, yes, in Division 1, Nassau won the sectional team title for the first time in 32 years since 1987, and Suffolk finished second. Nassau had 224.5 points. They had an outstanding show with 19 place winners.
You know, it was almost not meant to be, because I had joked around a little bit with Nassau wrestling coordinator John Mankiewicz of Jericho High School, and I said, you have a commanding lead heading into the finals. I don't think anybody can catch you. But Suffolk County is going to make it interesting, and they did. Suffolk had 3 finalists in Division I. All 3 won state championships. Nassau had 8 finalists, which was amazing, and only 1 state champion. 7 guys had really tough draws and finished in second place. It does not take away from the tournament for them at all. It's still second place. It is a phenomenal accomplishment in the state wrestling championships. But I know they were a little disappointed that they did not get a couple more champs.
And Greg, but just to get to the finals is a tremendous accomplishment, but they had 6 out of those 7 kids, not taking anything away from them. Those champs and those other weight classes were spectacular. They were all the number one seeds. And again, the Nassau kids have nothing to be ashamed of. They won the state title.
I have a lot of respect for a couple of the wrestlers that lost in the finals. Chase Liardi of Massapequa went up against 5-time state champion Greg Diakomihalis of Hilton. He lost 8-2, but I give him credit. I mean, Diakomihalis pretty much teched everybody he wrestled this year. I'm sure he pinned some people along the way, but what a phenomenal wrestling prodigy Diakomihalis is. He is the guy that will go into college and be an impact wrestler if he gets big enough, because he's not a big guy. He won the 120-pound weight class.
Greg, his brother was a 4-time state champ, and he's already, what, a 2-time NCAA Division I champ, so the guy has great bloodlines.
The Diakomihalis family has been part of that wrestling tournament now for a really long time. It's like you almost expect one of them to walk out on the mat and just destroy everybody, and they do.
They have great coaching and a great work ethic. They're very talented athletes and tremendous desire.
The bout that followed that at 126 pounds was one of the better bouts of the evening. George Rougeau of Syosset went against Zach Ryder of Minisink Valley. I thought that was an entertaining bout. Felt bad for Rougeau. Thought that Ryder came prepared and ready to go and really took it to him. And I know a lot of people were surprised by that, but I wasn't, because Ryder battled his way through the entire bracket, and I thought he was one of the better guys in the tournament.
You know, Greg, Zach Ryder is only an 8th grader. Can you imagine that?
No, I was shocked when I saw
that.
And
he won that state title. That's something you don't see.
He's mature beyond his years. He really is. I know we say that about some guys, but he, like the 99-pound state champion Peter Duke of Carmel, who's only a 7th grader.
Holy cow.
He's got a shot to be the first ever 6-time state champion. And that's if he stays at Carmel High School and doesn't transfer. I've heard rumors that he's going
all
to go to other
stuff,
schools,
yeah,
and maybe Wyoming Seminary, maybe Minisink Valley. But the bottom line is, some of these younger guys upstate, and they're there for years. We see them for years. Zach Ryder was as good as anybody we saw at the state titles.
And again, an 8th grader beating a sophomore, that just shows you how, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you would have never seen 2 young kids like that at the 126-pound weight class or bigger.
I think part of that is because the state tournament is a little diluted, having a Division I and a Division II champ. They have all the wrestlers going up there. There's almost 500 qualifiers this year, and it was exciting, and they broke the record for attendance. It was over 16,000 people. It is the biggest event in all sports in high schools in New York State. There is nothing close. Football does not get close, even if you add the Long Island Championships down here with what they get upstate for the state championships. Wrestling is amazing. And in that arena, the arena does a great job as far as the personnel and the staff. They're in and out in the different
rounds.
Marty
Sherman.
Yeah. Shout out to Marty Sherman and his staff and Chris Watson and Joe Altieri. I mean, they're just amazing. I got to tell you, it's one of the events that I look forward to every year for over 30 years. I've been heading up to the state tournaments at the Onondaga War Memorial. We've seen them all over the state. And they were in Nassau Coliseum one year. They knew that was a bomb. That wasn't going to work. But it is something that the people are passionate. It's emotional. It's one-on-one. You're wrestling on in the spotlight in front of in a packed house. The finals had 6,000 people, more than 6,000 people. I look at Arujov, and when we talk about Zach Ryder being an eighth grader from Minnesink Valley, and we talk about George Arujov of Syosset losing in the finals, being pinned in 435, Arujov will win a state title in the next 2 years. I'm saying it now. I thought he could have won it this year. He'll be the third brother in the family of fantastic wrestlers Vito and Nick Arujov.
Those guys have 7 state titles between them. Vito has 4, and Nick had 3. And you know what? With George, you could see he made a huge leap since where he was last year when he took 5th in the state. This year he took 2nd. And you kind of think, next year he's going to win it.
Feel-good story for Zach Redding at 132 pounds, the Eastport South Manor champ. Won it as a sophomore, had a disappointing finish as a junior, finished in 3rd, but had the resiliency and the perseverance to wrestle back to 3rd place. That takes a lot of character for a guy to get dumped when he's a defending state champion, especially as an underclassman, as a younger wrestler, to come back and still finish in 3rd place, which we've all discussed that sometimes taking 3rd is harder than coming in 1st.
Yeah, because if you lose that close semifinal match, you have to reprogram your head immediately, and within 45 minutes or an hour, you have to go back and wrestle one of the toughest matches in the semifinal consolations.
And Zach Redding, like Matt Rogers of Wontor at 182 pounds, who finished in the States as a sophomore and a junior in 4th and 5th place, and he won the state title this year at 182 pounds, beating Brock Delsenor of Shenandoah 6-4. They both kind of sang the same tune. They both said that they learned from failure, that you learn more from failure than you do from success. And both of them came in this year with a different focus, and kind of cool. Redding told me that getting to the state final, it was about winning the state final. Getting there wasn't enough. If he finished in 2nd, it would have been a huge letdown, disappointment before he goes off to college. And I believed him, and he was focused. He beat Jaden Scott of Rush Henrietta 4-2 for the 132-pound bout. And I thought he was in control the entire bout. I didn't think it was a close bout, even though 4-2 doesn't sound like, but he was in control the whole time.
Well, Greg, Redding got that takedown in the first period, and he kind of rode that to victory. And, you know, I thought he wrestled a cautious match, but a very thought-out, well-planned match. Coach Nick Garone and Coach Ryan Patrovich had a good game plan for Redding. They knew what a tough competitor Scott was, and they had the perfect game plan, and it worked.
And I thought it was similar to the Rogers match at 182 pounds, where he had the 6-2 lead, gave up a late takedown in the 3rd period, which was not significant. He just had to be careful over the last 8 seconds to win his 182 weight class championship. Phenomenal wrestlers, did a great job. We didn't get to talk a lot about Malik Lieutenant of Copeg. They wrestled late on Saturday evening. He got a mention in our story in the champions, but what a great season he had. He went against one of the tougher guys in the weight class, the number one seed in Alex Semenenko of McKee of Staten Island Tech. And I'm going to tell you this, he won 8-6, but that was a brawl.
And, you know, he got taken down right to his back at the beginning of the match, was losing 5-0. I said, wow, he's going to get pinned. He fought off his back. And, you know, his coach, Anthony Cipriano, told me later, he followed the game plan the entire match except for the first 20 or 25 seconds. He told his kid, he told Malik, do not go upper body. This kid has great throws. And he said he still thought that his kid was going to come back and win. And Malik never looked nervous, never looked like he wasn't going to win. He used a series of takedowns to come back and win.
Perhaps the most exciting final in Division I was at 106 pounds when Elijah Rivera completed a fantastic season at Bayshore. The senior beat Tyler Ferrara of Chenango Forks in overtime. He got the sudden victory takedown for the 6-4 win. And that came after a tremendous controversy where the entire arena, for the most part, was chanting, let them wrestle, with 1 second left in the 3rd period. And I'll take you through it, Andy, and I want to know your thoughts on it. The match is as hotly contested as it could be. Rivera's winning 4-2, gives up 2 points. Now it's 4-4. What was it? You tell me, you're shaking your head. What? How did it become 4-4?
Rivera was trailing by 4-2 and got a reversal with 42 seconds left to tie it.
And then he was riding the guy. And at 4-4, there was a stoppage.
Yep.
Okay, good that you remembered that, because I didn't. So that's... You love that I forgot something? My brain is frazzled, bro, after all the stuff we saw this weekend. So now it's 4-4, and there's a stoppage with 1 second left. Rivera leans back, and he adjusts the strap on his wrestling shoe to make sure that it's an adjustment of equipment, basically, that it's tight. Most wrestlers over the years, and not all, there was a rule put in because guys will fake tying their shoes, or their shoes will come untied all the time so they can take a break because they're gassed. The official thought that Rivera was fixing his shoelaces and not the Velcro strap that goes around the wrestling shoe. So he banged him with a stall, and he had already had a stall warning earlier in the bout. That gave his opponent Ferrara a point, put him behind 5-4. Alex Porcelli, the Bay Shore coach, immediately protested the call and asked for the committee to come in and discuss what the point was, because he was going to lose the state championship at 106 pounds. On a stall violation. On technically what's in the rule book, the referee interpreting the rule book is right that if you stall or you go to tie the shoe or touch the laces at any time, you get hit with a stall. And he had already had a stall, so it caused him a point. So by all rights, he could have lost. What's different in the book by the National Federation, which a lot of people in the arena were confused by, was that if you're only adjusting your equipment, whether it be your headgear, your strap on your headgear, any kind of equipment adjustment is legal and not a stall. So if you take the strap and you strap it over the laces or you tighten it, that is okay to do. So the committee felt that that's what happened and overruled the official on the mat. And I don't know that all the officials were in agreement with that. I think it was kind of split, because I went over there immediately to find out what was going on, because I wasn't sure either. They let them get on the mat. They wrestled the 1 second. They stood up, and they went to sudden victory. And Elijah Rivera got the cradle. Ferrara got in on a takedown attempt, got in deep, and the Bayshore senior got him into the cradle, turned him over. 2 points, an amazing finish. The arena was mayhem.
Greg, that was one of the coolest things we ever saw, when the whole arena was chanting, "Let them wrestle, let them wrestle."
Let them wrestle! 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 Let them wrestle!
You know, I'm not going to say all 6,000 people were
yelling
at. What
movie was that in, where they were doing the "Let them play"? Where was that? Our producer came up with it. It was the Bad News Bears. Let them play. Let them play. That is an iconic movie and a great thing. What happened
in
the arena?
Astrodome in Houston.
We were in a moment in the arena. That was a big moment.
Yep.
It was like the Astrodome, like the Bad News Bears.
A lot of controversy, and I'll tell you what. I think that the officials did get the call right, and I'll tell you, for you non-believers, there's no way you could tie your shoes that fast. I mean, literally, that was a split second. You're talking about strapping a piece of Velcro as opposed to tying his shoes. But I will tell you this. I have to feel real bad for Tyler Ferrara, because, I mean, he's a young kid, a 14-year-old. He thinks that he wins a state title. And then to have that taken back, that's got to take something out of him emotionally. I don't care what anybody says. It's got to take something. And then for him to have to go out there,
well, I agree.
He almost gets a takedown.
I agree. But
bad ending for no matter who lost that match. It was going to be a horrible ending.
I agree with you. And I got to tell you this. What I did like about it, and there's no timeouts in wrestling. Timeout, that's why they have the rules. But if they could have had a little bit of a better reset, while both wrestlers were awaiting the decision of the committee, the coaches should have had them focused on the potential of overtime and nothing else. The coaches from Chenango Forks were focused on the committee's decision more than they were their wrestler. If you watch what was going on in that corner and you watch what was going on with the committee, the head coach was more more involved with the committee and what was going to happen or possibly happen than preparing his 14-year-old for what could potentially happen, and that is get mentally ready. You may have to finish this, and you may have to win it on the mat, not by a stall violation. Whether I agree with the first warning of stalling or not, which I don't, earlier in the bout, it would have been a non-issue if there was no warning earlier, because then whatever the stall call was with 1 second left. And by the way, how many officials have you seen this year when a kid throws his headgear a la C.J. Rodriguez did that 15 years ago or whatever it was, threw his headgear, and it cost him 2 points, and he lost the state championship. Nina Van Erk was the executive director back then, and It was an ongoing thing in the courts whether he should have lost the state title on that or not, because he threw his headgear in exultation, not in defiance or unsportsmanlike conduct. It was an exhilarating moment. I will never agree that they took that state title away from that kid. That was the biggest travesty I've ever seen in state wrestling history.
Worst.
And he's not from Long Island, somebody we cover, but it was awful.
No, he's from North Rockland, Section 1.
What happened this weekend, nobody had anything taken away from them.
True.
They could have
Good
earned
point.
It in the overtime. Both guys had equal opportunity to win that bout. So I really don't feel bad for the Chenango Forks kid. I don't. But he had just as much an equal opportunity to get his takedown and earn it on the mat as the other guy and not win by a violation. But you still have to follow the rule book, because you don't want anarchy where people do whatever they want because the rules don't count.
Right.
The rules count. All right. We're going to go to Division Two. Congratulations to the Nassau County Division One team title team, to Rob Paletta, MacArthur, the head coach, to John Mankiewicz and all the guys, Ed Ramirez, and all the guys in Nassau County Wrestling. Well-deserved. So many years they've come in second or third behind Suffolk, and this year they were the big dog from Long Island. So congratulations to the 516.
Hey, Greg, how about this real quick? You talk about dominance. Nassau had 19 place winners in that state tournament, and Suffolk had 24. So they had 43 place winners.
That's pretty good.
It was like 44%. My point is,
who was your favorite guy? I don't care about your point. I care about who's your favorite guy in the whole tournament. Come on.
Favorite guy in the whole tournament?
Elijah
Rivera.
Okay.
I graduated from Bayshore, and he's the first Bayshore guy in 37 years to win a title.
I'll give you
that's
that.
It's a no-brainer.
You know who I got to give a shout-out to, who I thought wrestled with more moxie and more heart than anybody in the tournament? That's saying a lot. Who left it all on the mat was a gamer. Who am I talking about? Miles Norris of Freeport.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
He wrestled the whole state championship injured.
With a bad knee.
And in the finals, Lucas Scott of Chenango Forks, who's an absolute great wrestler,
yep.
All he did was work that bad leg, work that knee, and he beat him 5-1 because he was smart.
And
he had a game plan.
That.
But he had a game plan, and you can't fault him for that because he's out there to win. You're not feeling bad for anybody when you're out on the mat. How many guys do we know go out there injured? But Miles Norris showed me a lot in the finals.
Two-time state runner-up.
All right, Division Two. There are some guys in Division Two from Long Island that are so noteworthy. They are so good. The first guy that jumps off the page of me is Jordan Titus of Santa Maria's. He's only a junior, a two-time state champ, dominated Micah Rose of Lowville 9-2. He's a guy that we're going to see win three state titles.
Greg, 39-0. He's been to four straight state finals. The only guy he's lost to in the state finals, both times close. First time in overtime, second time, I think, by two points, was a four-time state champion, Anthony Noto. This kid, Jordan Titus, is special.
Two guys that I told you guys last week
I
thought would win state titles, and I saw them both wrestle a couple times this year. I'm really thankful that I had the opportunity to go out to Cold Spring Harbor and Manhasset and see those teams wrestle. And I know all the Nassau cats out there are like, well, come out more. Come out and see our Nassau people more. We like you in the 516. I'm going to bring you with me next year. It was actually a great experience, and I got to see a lot of great wrestling. But Christian Hansen jumped off the
You've
mat at me.
You've been telling me this for
weeks. Cold Spring Harbor kid who wrestled up two weights in the Dual Meet Championships in Syracuse to wrestle Matt Campo, who I thought was going to win a state title at 170 pounds.
You
of
told me that. You said, Andy, there's no way this kid is losing. I was like, yo, you can't say that. You said for 5 weeks. There's no way this kid is not winning. And the kid, Greg, we always talk about it, one of the nicest kids we've ever covered. off the mat,
well-spoken,
he's always smiling,
articulate,
laughing.
Yeah.
But on the mat, he turns it on.
Well, he had a tough bout, 170 pounds. Matt Campo of Mount Sinai. He beat Mikey Squires of Norwich.
The one 4-2. Seed.
Yeah, the one seed. 4-2 in sudden victory. Got the takedown. Something I deserved. We have some great photos of him that Bill Perlman took, of him coming off the mat with the thumbs up and excited and smiling. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about you finally get to where you want to be. He had been a state place winner 2 times before and finally won that elusive state title. So good for Matt Campo.
And what a heck of a way for Coach Matt Armstrong to be going out with a state champ. Last guy he ever coaches wins in the state finals.
You got to love it. Christian Hansen finishes his season at 152 pounds with a big win over Nick Ross of Ontario. I got to tell you, he won 6-2. He dominated the match. It wasn't even close. Hansen had a phenomenal season. When you look at his record and you go through everything that he accomplished, and I'm looking at his 2 losses. One was in Eastern States, I believe, and the other one was to Campo. So he's a guy.
Up 2 weights.
Amazing.
What about Gage DiNatale?
You know, we don't talk about him a lot, but he the
and
Locust
this kid
Valley,
is a state place winner from last year.
Right, 132 pounds at Locust Valley. Beat Dean Shambo of Mexico 6-5 in a barn burner. I kept looking over there during that bout, and I was amazed at how quick DiNatale is and how strong he was. And he deserved that championship. I mean, that was a big win for him.
And every time the other kid went up on him, Rose went up on him. Shambo went up on DiNatale. DiNatale would get a takedown, a reversal or something to go back up by a point.
The one guy that I thought would win a state title, ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw at 113 pounds, was Max Gallagher of Bayport Blue Point. Lost in the state finals 3-2. We'll see him back in the state finals. He's just too good to be denied a state championship. Lost to Dante Gaislinger of Norwich and in a phenomenal match. I had asked Laura Amato, I said, so how did Max Gallagher finish up? She goes, he lost a heartbreaker. And they were over there, her and Gene Morris. By the way, they did a phenomenal job at the state wrestling championships. Video, social media, their writing, everything was fantastic. Really proud of them and what they brought to the table for us in our overall coverage. And our photographers, John Conrad Williams and Bill Perlman, I mean, they were on it. We have such great galleries.
They took photos of 101 kids, all the 101 kids that we sent up there. There's photos of on Newsday. They did an awesome job. Hey, Greg, I was going to tell you, this kid, Dante Gaislinger from Norwich, is a stud. I think he was a defending champ. Max Gallagher is a 14-year-old freshman. He took third in the state last year, third in the Eastern States this year, and second in the state. This kid's going to win at least one state title before he's done.
Well, but it was another outstanding experience at the state wrestling championships
awesome.
Up in Albany. We rolled out of there after the championships on Saturday night. We were home in 3 hours, right? And I was exhausted on Sunday. It was long days, 12-hour days, watching the Long Island wrestling guys go at it and come home with 8 state champions. 4 in Division I, 4 in Division II, Nassau Team Championship. It was awesome.
They don't call it Strong Island for nothing. And, you know, with Division II, the last 2 years getting so much stronger, now the rest of the state says, wow, both Division I and II from Long Island are great.
For Greg Sarah, Andy Slauson, our producer, Mark LaMonica, thanks for joining us on the Newsday High School Sports Podcast.